is going to be contributing to the show, Connor Boyack. Maybe you've read his blog, Connor's Conundrums, but he will be every Tuesday from here on out providing the Boyack Review. And I don't know if you know, I've had Connor on my show. He really is dialed in on Liberty. He's a very smart guy, so I'm thrilled to have him here in the fight trying to educate people about Liberty. Now, I want to bring even another segment, another interesting thing, a new thing that we've introduced on the show. We're, you know, last week we introduced the Darcy Report, where we have Darcy Van Orten call in every Wednesday at 2:30. She will be back tomorrow, 2:30, listen to her report. But today, I'm thrilled that we're adding to our army of liberty here on K-Talk. We've got the one and only Connor Boyack. Connor is going to be issuing the Boyack Review. Connor, are you with us?
I am, Jake. How you doing?
Hey, good. Welcome. So, you know what I love about you, Connor, is you've got some way of really getting people fired up. I mean, I've seen this over and over again on Facebook. You know how to ask the right questions to just get people fired up. So, and I'm privy to it, but let's share with everybody else today. So, what is it that you're the point that you're trying to make today?
I'm here to announce that I'm running. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, this is like becoming the place to do that or something.
I am not running for office. Now, today, so for the premiere segment, what I wanted to talk about is something that may seem a bit kind of curious to those who know me well, myself being, of course, a very committed Ron Paul supporter, or, you know, supporter of liberty and the Constitution, and seeing in Ron Paul pretty much the only candidate for office. For presidential office who adheres to that document and those principles. So what I want to talk about today is why Ron Paul should not be president. And that kind of, as I've told some people this morning what I'm planning on doing, they kind of, it piques their interest clearly.
Yeah, that's got to make people's circuits like boil, though, when, especially you, that's kind of a bait and switch, right?
Right. And you know, of course it is a little bit tantalizing to get them to listen to the show. And so I think once I get into my point, it'll become clear. And to begin my point, I want to go actually to the Bible, to the Old Testament, one of the more scary of books and difficult to read. But there's some excellent principles for liberty contained in it specifically. And I want to talk about 1 Samuel 8. Now, this is a very interesting chapter of the Bible in that it talks about the children of Israel and the prophet Samuel. And what's happening here is all the other nations around Israel have kings. They have a kingly form of government with everything that that implies, but in Israel they have judges. And the prophet Samuel, his sons actually are the judges. And the people start clamoring for the king. They start begging Samuel to change their form of government. Twice in 1 Samuel chapter 8, it says that they want to be like all the other nations.
Now, hold on, Connor. I hate to interrupt, sure. But to be excruciatingly clear, you mean the biblical Israel, not the political country of Israel.
Correct. Okay. We're talking the historical Israel as it's recounted
Two different things. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So they start clamoring for a king, twice explaining to the prophet Samuel, who had instituted the divinely approved reign of the judges, that they wanted to be like the other nations. In other words, they see that the countries around them, the so-called potential benefits, or the kind of the grass is greener on the other side effect, I think, and they begin to clamor for a king. So Samuel takes this to the Lord, and he prays, and he kind of gives a report of what's up, and the Lord says, actually, they're not rejecting the judges or you as a prophet. They're rejecting me. What happened was these people had become so depraved and wicked and had deviated so much from the principles that were contained in their government and in their religion that they wanted to basically become worldly and like everyone else around them. They wanted to abandon the principles. They wanted to disregard the commandments they had been given. So in clamoring for a king, they in fact were trying to justify their abandonment of the principles that were infused in that earlier government. So what actually happened was kind of interesting, and it sets, I think, a precedent for what I want to talk about with Ron Paul. And that is, the Lord tells Samuel, the prophet, to basically go ahead and give the people what they want. He doesn't say, you know, push back, you need to kind of correct them, help them see the error of their ways, they're clearly wrong, they're asking for something that's wrong. He told Samuel to just go give them what they want. So Samuel goes back to the people and he says, look guys, you know, you institute a king and they're going to, you're going to basically become slaves of the state. The king's going to steal your daughters. He's going to put your sons into the army. He's going to take your land. He's going to impose taxes. These are all the downsides to a king. And the people still, for that second time, come back and say, basically, we don't care. We still want a king. So finally he says, you know, fine, the Lord's told me that you guys want a king, that I'm supposed to go ahead and surrender to that. So we're going to go ahead and create a king, and that's what happens. So my question is, if that was the case then why should it be any different now?
So you're worried about Ron Paul becoming the king?
No, not at all. And let me maybe explain better.
You have to forgive me. I mean, I know libertarianism, but I'm like clueless when it comes biblical stuff.
Yeah, no, I'll explain this in a bit more detail. How much time do we have before?
We're good. We got about 5 minutes till break.
Okay, great. So I'll use a couple polls to demonstrate what I'm talking about. Well, we're talking about kind of a cognitive dissonance here. People who claim to want one thing, but they in fact want another.
Ah.
So the people claim that they wanted a king, but what they really wanted was to simply abandon the divine principles that they clung to. So here's some. So we'll relate it now to the modern day with some polls that I pulled up earlier this morning. So these are all Rasmussen reports. These are all kind of nationally recognized polls. One said that 15% of people believe that the United States is heading in the right direction. That's a severe minority,
yeah.
Right? 6% think that politicians keep their campaign promises once they make it into office. 9% give Congress positive marks, so, you know, 91% think that Congress is failing. And only 35% believe America's best days are still to come. So clearly, when directly asked on stuff like this, people say, you know, things are not going very well. Congress sucks. They're passing horrible laws. They're doing things that violate our liberty. They kind of recognize that when generally asked. Yet when you get into specifics, you find something completely different. You find that much like the people of Israel were clamoring for something they should not have clamored for, and that they were wanting a king, they were wanting to abandon the principles of private property, of individual liberty that were infused in the ancient Israelite government. They wanted to abandon that, and so there were some interesting polls that I found in conjunction with those that I first mentioned that demonstrate a little bit of that cognitive dissonance I mentioned, whereas those people, you know, and perhaps in other polls, but polled generally, people were saying that things are going off track or we need a new path to follow, things are horrible. Listen to this. When you get into some specific issues, you find something that I believe to be a huge disconnect. One half of people think that bailouts are good for the country. Two-thirds of people think that the government should provide welfare assistance for the unemployed. 80% believe that Social Security has been good for the country, and 73% believe that it's constitutional. Over half of people think that marijuana should be illegal. Three-quarters of people support using federal money to hire teachers and first responders to build schools and roads. And between half to two-thirds of people oppose any cuts whatsoever in education, Social Security, Medicare, anti-poverty programs, the military, farm subsidies, etc. So I hope that kind of explains it better, where you have people who want to cling to the very things that they claim are putting the country off track. They say, oh, things are not going well, these politicians are doing horrible things, Congress is failing, and yet when asked specifically on positions, on issues that they perhaps maybe personally benefit from, or a loved one does, or something that hits close to home, they say, oh, no, well, you know, we can't bring the troops home, or we can't stop federal funding for education or anything like that. Clearly,
like Republicans typically, you know, spit out the rhetoric or would vote, oh, yeah, I want small government, until then, again, it affects them somehow.
Sure, until you get into the specifics of what everything that implies, especially to be consistent, right? And so I found this quote I was reading this morning in The Road to Serfdom by Hayek. And I found a quote that I think totally hit this on the head. It's a brief quote. This is what he says. Hayek says, "Is there a greater tragedy imaginable than that in our endeavor consciously to shape our future in accordance with high ideals, we should in fact unwittingly produce the very opposite of what we've been striving for?" So he's basically warning people that you claim that you love liberty and freedom and you want these things, when in fact what you're doing, the things you're supporting, are opposing the things that you claim to be important. Now bringing this home to the Ron Paul thing and why I think Ron Paul shouldn't be president, the vast majority of people want things that Ron Paul directly opposes. And if we take that Samuel principle that I talked about in the Bible, if that has any type of general application or validity to us today, if we think that the people should have what they want, I think that then implies that Ron Paul should not be president, because people are not yet ready, they're not prepared, they don't understand the importance of the principles of liberty and the positions that then follow from those principles that Ron Paul has been advocating. So in short, people simply don't want Ron Paul elected, and if you apply the Samuel principle, you would then be required to say that Ron Paul should not, in fact, be elected because the people aren't prepared and ready to appreciate what he's going to do.
Yeah, that's an interesting argument, because really, yeah, I mean, people could be saying, oh, yeah, I want liberty and all this, and they actually get what they ask for, and then they end up demonizing Ron Paul for actually delivering what they really wanted, supposedly, and that's this liberty, perhaps.
Well, and if you look at the reactions to some of the positions that Ron Paul's been taking, especially with the plan he introduced last week to cut $1 trillion from the budget, cutting all these departments, you see the reaction in the media, even in blogs and Facebook, social media. People pick on that, the specific issue. Oh, well, he wants to cut foreign aid. What are we going to do with Israel? Or, you know, they pick on these specific things that apply to them or interest them and say, oh, this is untenable because he wants to do this, when they don't realize that in opposing that specific thing, or rather supporting the thing that Ron Paul opposes, they are conflicting themselves. They're being inconsistent, and while claiming to love liberty and freedom and the Constitution, they are in fact promoting things that violate it. And so they, in my opinion, according to this position I'm now taking, they are not ready for Ron Paul, and we should not have him elected simply because the people don't want and perhaps would reject him ultimately.
All right, well, hey, this is only the first segment. We've got another 20 minutes. Call in. Should Ron Paul be elected? K-Talk, the voice of Utah.
The voice of Utah. AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
When I call you up, your line's engaged.
All right, welcome back. Mental Self Defense Radio. We are smack dab in the middle of the Boyack Review, the premiere of the Boyack Review. We've got Connor Boyack with us. He's going to be with us every Tuesday at 2:30 to lay the smackdown on tyranny here on Mental Self Defense Radio. Connor, so if people want to follow you, I mean, you've got this new book coming out, obviously, but you've also got a pretty popular blog. What's that URL?
Yeah, sure. So I blog at just, it's my name, ConnorBoyack.com, and I won't bother spelling it so people need to write it down. You can just Google Connor Boyack, and any variant of my spelling will pull up the website.
Okay, good. So and so you blog, you've got a ton of great stuff there. Is he wrong? Should Ron Paul actually not run? Should he not be president? The phone number, 801-254-5855 in Salt Lake County. Elsewhere throughout Utah, 801-670-5855. So before the break, you are one of the most ardent supporters of liberty here in the state of Utah. You've just written a book. What's the name of your book?
Yeah, so the book is Latter-day Liberty, A Gospel Approach to Government and Politics. It's coming out December 8th, just in time for Christmas. You can go to latterdayliberty.com and find pre-order links there to get your Christmas present early. But yeah, very excited. And in fact, Ron Paul endorsed the book. So
yeah, so here we are in the midst of this irony. The man endorses your book, and you're saying he shouldn't be elected because people can't handle the truth, basically?
Well, and let me be clear. Earlier you said, and perhaps you misspoke, you said that I thought that he should not run. And that's, in fact, not what I'm saying. In fact, I absolutely think he should run.
You're thinking he shouldn't be president, then?
That, you know, let me be clear. I'm arguing somewhat tongue-in-cheek today. I do think he should be president, but I think the explanation I'll provide is this. I think the Samuel principle does apply. I think, you know, people aren't ready. I mean, I honestly worry about Ron Paul's life should he be elected. I think that the powers that be would see him as a huge threat to their establishment.
I mean, like, look at Ronald Reagan. He was like Ron Paul light, like very light, and he only lasted 6 months before an assassination attempt.
Right, and you know, and that's a worry. I mean, I don't want to get all conspiracy theory, but I legitimately do worry for the man's life should he be elected with the threat that he is to the establishment. So.
You're encouraging Ron Paul. You love his ideas, but you're a little scared, actually, should he become president, that people just can't handle it.
Well, and that's why I think the Samuel principle is valid, right? We shouldn't force Ron Paul on the people. what I think is important is that we are educating people along the way as to why Ron Paul, in fact, should be president, or better put, why the principles and the policies he's advocating are important, are true, are valid, should be applied, and that then, therefore, they will support and be better prepared to have Ron Paul as president.
So you're being controversial when you actually really support Ron Paul with all your being.
Never.
So, hold on. We got Willie in West Bountiful wants to talk Ron Paul. Willie, you're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm all for Ron Paul. I intend to be a Utah state Republican delegate this next year, and I'll be voting for him. I also want to be a delegate so I can vote against Orrin Hatch.
Welcome to the club.
He has so abandoned any principles he ever had, about the Constitution. He voted for Medicare D. He voted for TARP. He voted for the Patriot Act.
Well, Willie, we had two guys on today that are planning on running against him. But I'm curious, kind of trying to stay on topic here. What about Ron Paul? So what's your view with regards to what Connor's saying? Are people ready for Ron Paul? Should he get elected?
Well, he should, but I don't think he will. But I'm certainly for him. I've given him money, and I certainly will be a Ron Paul delegate at the Utah convention and all that. If he does not get it, I've heard rumors that maybe he would run on a libertarian constitution or independent ticket, which it. Personally, he'd have my vote if he did that, even if it drew away enough votes to make Obama get reelected. And I'll tell you why. It's because if he runs, it'll be because the Republicans have once again run some big government insider establishment guy like John McCain. In other words, they'll run Rick Perry.
Or Romney.
Or our good old member of the Fed, Herman Cain.
Yeah.
And, those people... The Republican Party needs to learn a lesson, and it's that when they continue to run these big government guys, they cannot count on our support anymore. It's just not going to happen. We don't need to take the back seat. They should be the ones taking the back seat, because there's not much difference between I don't believe there was any difference between McCain and Obama.
Hey, really. You're preaching to the choir here, Willie. Anything else you want to add, or anything specifically for Connor?
I'm going to check out anybody who's opposing Orrin Hatch for sure, and I'll give my vote. I'd even vote for Mark Shurtleff, and I think he's despicable if he ran against Orrin Hatch. If he was my only choice, I figure a change is as good as a rest.
All right. Anyway, hey, thanks for the call, Willie.
You bet. Bye.
So, it seems like Ron Paul has a tremendous amount of support, but... You very well could be right. I mean, what do we do if Ron Paul gets elected? That's something that I don't think a lot of people have really considered, except maybe yourself.
Well, and it's interesting to see if you, for example, talk with a bunch of traditional Republicans, a lot of them like Ron Paul's economic policies. A lot of them will admit that he's been consistent and he's been right for the past three decades. He predicted the housing collapse and all the booms and busts, because when you base yourself in Austrian economics, that's frankly quite simple to do. So they'll admit that he's right on economics, but they'll have what Senator Santorum called a couple days ago indigestion were he to be elected because of his foreign policy views. The neocons and the interventionists who support the foreign wars and the military interventions in which we're engaged. So it's kind of interesting to see people who will conditionally support Ron Paul or say that they like a certain aspect of him, but were he to be elected and were his plan to be pushed through Congress, without being watered down and adulterated, it would be very interesting, I think, to see the interactions among the citizenry of what type of response that would produce. And, I don't think people are ready for it. And I hesitate to call Ron Paul's campaign an educational initiative or endeavor. I think perhaps the 2007 and 8 race was more along those lines. I think he's doing fantastic this year. He's doing great in the polls. His messaging is on key. His advertising is fantastic, especially compared to last time. The ads they're putting out are great. So clearly there's an educational component. I still think he's in it to win it. Whether or not he runs third party after that, I don't know. But I do think that the educational component is key, because if people are going to elect and embrace Ron Paul and specifically the positions that he supports, they need to be educated first in order to be ready for that. Otherwise, I think there will be full-out rejection, whether from the powers that be in an assassination attempt or what have you, or from the people at large just totally, having a anaphylactic shock because of the things that he goes about trying to do.
Well, the funny thing is the people that claim to like him on economics and not on foreign policy don't get it at all. First of all, they're obviously wrong on foreign policy. But the bigger issue is that they don't even get what he's trying to say, that foreign policy is a part of the problem with the economy, that it's all wrapped into the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. We've got a caller here, Rob in Salt Lake City. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Hi, how's it going?
Doing good, man. So what do you want to say?
I just want to say I'm for Ron Paul. I think we're ready for the truth. I think, a lot of people are just sick and tired of, like, being governed by the Federal Reserve.
But, Rob, to Connor's point directly, you're speaking to the choir here. We all love is it actually dangerous for Ron Paul to win?
Hey, you know what? I think there's a lot of people that have just about had it with the way things have been run in this country and taking care of other countries. Foreign policy, he's right on. We shouldn't be sticking our nose everywhere. You know, that's, like you said, it's all wrapped in together in one package deal with this going over there and doing what we're doing is we're blazing the trail for all these corporations to do business over there. That's exactly what we're doing with all these wars.
But Rob, to Connor's point, I understand. I agree.
Yeah,
I want him to win. Rob, hold on. Do you think that, to Connor's point, that say we get what we want, and there's hardcore people like you and me and Connor that are like hooting and hollering and popping, Christmas poppers or whatever, the firecrackers, were excited, but is that really the majority? Are they really ready for what he wants to do?
And this goes back to the polls that
Hold on. Connor, you were going to say something. Hold on. Connor, you were going
to
say something.
I was just going to go back to the polls that I mentioned earlier, right? Just we have a total disconnect. And where Rob says people are fed up, and things of that general nature, I agree. The polls reflect that, right? 15% think the U.S. is headed in the right direction.
You believe 9%
thinks Congress is doing great.
On, like, the news and stuff?
It's when you get into specific principles, policies, and issues that you find that is indeed not the case, and that's where we need to do our work. Yes, people are fed up, but they don't have the intellectual and philosophical consistency to realize that they are supporting things, just like Hayek said, that are hostile to the very ends that they believe are important. They are fed up. They want a clean Congress. They want people to support the Constitution. Little realizing, whether it's intentional ignorance or unintentional, that they endorse and support policies that do in fact violate the very things they claim are important. So that's
Rob, because we're all on the same team here. What I'm curious about, you're gung-ho, I'm gung-ho, Connor's gung-ho, but let me ask you something. When you go, let's say, to Thanksgiving dinner this year, and you sit down with your family, how many of those people do you think actually would... I mean, do you have a hard time convincing them of the points of the arguments that Ron Paul makes?
No, my whole family wants Ron Paul.
Oh, well, that's good.
Lucky.
There's no arguments going on about that one.
Okay, that's good. Even, like, extended family.
We believe in the gold standard. Yeah, a lot of the extended family. Actually, we probably won't have very many extended family over, but most of my parents or friends, family live out of town. But, my immediate family, we're definitely all for Ron Paul. And, I have a lot of friends that are for Ron Paul. And, I think we need to get back to the gold standard, not printing money.
Love it, love it. Hey, Rob, I hate to do it, man, but I got like 300 callers. Okay, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. We've got Harry in Riverton. Harry, welcome to the show.
Hey, I think
I'm laughing because I'm reading what your idea is here. Spill it on us right now, because you got like 2 minutes.
Yeah, so I think if Romney doesn't get on the ticket as a Republican candidate, he should run as a third party.
But we're not even talking about. Are you supporting Romney?
Yeah, and we're not ready for Romney either. We're not ready for Romney.
I would hope not.
We're not ready for Romney, and he should run as a third-party ticket. That would really teach the Republicans a thing or two.
He should run to the ocean and then keep running.
And Kane should run on a third-party ticket, too.
Okay, Harry, I got too many calls here. Sorry, I got to let you go. Hold on, Connor, I've got too many. Rob in Salt Lake City, different Rob. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
You got 30 seconds, Rob. We're almost out of time. Sorry.
Okay, I think he did such a great job on Hannity last night explaining his foreign policy, and I think he's really struggled, at least maybe, where he talked before, Iran shouldn't have nuclear weapons, and, he just kind of left it like that. And I think a lot of people disagree with that
seconds.
We should do what we can to fight against that. But the way he explained it last night on Hannity, I thought, man, that is good. That's spot on. If he can continue to do that, I think he'll get more people on his side.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for the call, Rob. So, Connor, we got a minute left. Anything else you want to add in closing?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. He's been doing a lot better. Ron Paul has. People, if you haven't seen it yet, go on YouTube and search for Ron Paul Meet the Press. He did an interview on Meet the Press on Sunday. The questions were, of course, awful as always, but he was on message, on target, and he was educating people. He was very articulate. He's doing so much better. You know, when I say that Ron Paul should not be elected president, what I'm basically saying is we've got our work cut out for us educationally. I've written the book, Latter-day Liberty, hopefully a good offering to kind of help in that regard. You've got a radio show. We're doing stuff. But I think we really have to educate people as to why these principles are important, they're valid, they should be applied, and why the opposite is immoral and invalid and illegitimate. We've got our work cut out for us, but hopefully we can do that, and then Ron Paul will and should and might be elected.
Yeah, I just want to get this in. Carol from American Fork, sorry, we're out of time, but she wants to say that without Ron Paul, we're in trouble. So I think people are agreeing, and I think your book, Latter-day Liberty, is going to be the tip of the spear here in Utah. So, Connor, hey, great first segment. We'll be back tomorrow, Mental Self-Defense Radio, K-Talk, the voice of Utah. Thanks, guys.